The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, here we are. Welcome back. It's Tuesday. Mitchell Henderson is on an hour early tonight, and I hope you caught that in the guest listings. He is standing by, sitting by, somewhere down there in the great Southwest. I don't want to nail it down any closer than that. But there's a lot going on. In Ukraine, Zelensky has been having a major house cleaning. He fired six, deputy directors in the whatever their Department of Defense is called, the Ministry of Defense, whatever it is, because of the catastrophe that he ultimately should share full responsibility for of this counterattack. And all told, in the 500 and some days that this offensive and defensive operation has been conducted, depends on which side of the table you're standing, we see now that over 500,000 people, human beings, have been killed, men and women, mostly men, in the Ukrainian military. 500,000. I don't know how many civilians. We should mix them in there as well. This is probably, and I don't know military history well, I know a little bit of it, but I can't think of anything since World War II that has been more catastrophically bungled than these human wave attacks that the Ukrainians have been throwing at the Russians for, 3 months now? And I think the total number of dead in the counteroffensive is around 70,000 at this point. But all told, since the beginning, when Russia had to come in to stop the invasion of Donbass, there's over 500,000 Ukrainian dead. So Zelensky is trying to chop heads as fast as he can to make himself look less than culpable, I would think. At any rate, he came over here asking for more money, as you know. Couldn't even put on a suit and tie. Marjorie Taylor Greene was not happy about his dress. So, what a zoo. Hello, Mitch.
Hello. So let me lead with the military manpower thing in the Ukraine.
May I ask a question first? Hold on.
Yeah, sure.
I was trying to get to this. Do you remember, or am I thinking correctly? This is the most deadly holocaust of military personnel, certainly in the Western world, since World War II.
This is like World War One, where in World War One they had up to 60,000 men killed in the Battle of the Somme in one day. Okay, so what's going on in Ukraine is like the slaughter of World War One, and they called that the Lost Generation because that was Europe's young men that was wasted on the battlefield.
Yep.
And they hated those generals, and they've gone down bad in history because they just kept trying to throw men at the line. And Ukraine's doing the same thing. Their counteroffensive wasn't a counteroffensive. They tried to attack in like five different places. They split their forces, which is a losing proposition. They didn't do nothing the correct way. They blame American tactics and strategy when the Americans told them, what are you wasting lives on Bakhmut for? It doesn't mean anything. But see, to Zelensky, it's very important. It's an insult that they lost Bakhmut. So they're still fighting there today, trying to take it back. It's like, why? What about their counteroffensive? This is just a slaughter, is all it is, okay?
I would think and I've said this the other night, that it would be entirely appropriate if the United Nations passed a resolution on the basis of humanitarian grounds that the Ukrainians immediately stop slaughtering themselves in the teeth of the Russian meat grinder. It's crazy.
Yep.
And I know damn well
and
that 95%...
So as long as they have weapons, they'll throw men out there to die. So we need to quit giving
They're running
them
out of men. You saw the story I ran about pregnant women now being drafted, didn't you?
Yeah.
And the special armor that they've, body armor that they've made for them. How, I mean, this is supposedly the year 2023, not 823. This is insane what's going on. And I would think also that the Russians, some of the Russian troops have got to be sick of it's a turkey shoot or worse.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is.
Go ahead.
So there was a Ukrainian army guy named Lieutenant Colonel Vitaly Bezhny complained last night about Ukrainian manpower. He said that only 13% of the conscription quotas could be met.
Right.
He said out of 100 people who joined the units last fall, only 10 to 20 remain. The rest are dead, wounded, or disabled. So
80,
I should explain
80 to 90%
what decimation means.
Death. 80 to 90% dead.
Yeah.
This is I just think
keep
this
in
is
mind,
really
when
kind
they talk
of
about a military unit being decimated,
right.
What decimation means is it means that when you have lost 10 out of 100 men, your forces are decimated. Decimated means that your unit lost 10% of the men. Every
is that okay?
Man.
That's very interesting. Go ahead. Good. 10%
means
you've been decimated. I gotcha.
Yeah.
That's military
you are no longer
lingo.
Combat effective.
All right.
Ukraine is way beyond decimated. I mean, at 80 to 90%, that's way beyond decimated. Since the counteroffensive began on June 4th, Ukraine has lost 71,000 killed in action. Since the war began, Ukraine has lost about 430,000 killed in action. And I'm given a very, very, very conservative number because I've got to do more on this. So if we apply the standard wounded to killed ratio for the Donbass, which is 4.14, now what that means by killed to wounded ratio is for every soldier killed, there's a certain amount that you average out have been wounded. Okay, so the figure for the Donbass is 4.14 men killed wounded for every person killed. That means Ukraine has 1,780,200 wounded, which is never revealed publicly. That's almost 2 million wounded, 500,000 killed, and 2 million wounded.
Unbelievable.
Okay, this is a slaughter.
Oh my.
Okay, how are they gonna take care of all these wounded people? How are they gonna do it? You know, this is why Zelensky is talking about making a formal declaration of war. He wants a more massive mobilization, although he does not have the manpower to do so. Sources say that the real reason he wants to declare war is so that he can cancel elections. He could not possibly win an election because 80% of the Ukrainians hate his guts. So taking from the pedophile Biden's playbook, he had his main political opponent arrested for treason last week. So he's arresting his opposition so that he'll be the only person that can run. Okay, so last year, Russia had a mobilization of 300,000 troops. This was a mobilization of already trained military reservists. This year, Russia has recruited 300,000 contract soldiers, which means enlistments. Russia drafted just 30,000 soldiers. So the United States, with twice the population of Russia, had a goal of recruiting 225,700 people for the military. We are 26,000 recruits short of that goal. Now, America has double the population of Russia, and yet we're not even trying to get to 300,000, but we can't get there. We're about two thirds of what Russia can recruit with half the population that we have. Okay.
And so, look at the standards.
I got to tell you something. When I was looking for these figures on recruitment, the United States government is trying to hide this information. You can plug it in, and they just don't want to tell you how many people they were trying to recruit. They'll tell you, oh, we're 5,000 short for the Marine Corps, I mean, for the Navy or something, but they don't want to tell you how many people they wanted to recruit. So we're starting to play Ukraine's game of not revealing the numbers and stuff because it makes us look bad, okay? So,
let me ask you another question, Rich. How do we, as far as the American recruiting statistics go, and the dismal performance there, what about the actual levels of competence that they have given up? The actual, a lot of these people are completely useless. Go ahead.
Yes, they are. I see these Navy recruits out there. It's like the women are obese. What the hell?
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
It's like
I don't know what
they kick people out of the Army in my time for being overweight and not in shape. They don't do that now. They're pulling everybody they can in, you know? They're desperate is what's going on. So let's talk about desperate. Let's talk about space invasion, okay? Because I talked to a guy who's retired who was a part of Project Blue Beam, okay? So I need to clarify.
Blue Beam goes back to the
CIA's.
1970s, I think, 80s, 70s?
No, 80s? It's before the 50s. It's a long time. I'll tell you how it came about because he explained it all to me. It's pretty good. Okay,
right.
So... So they want their Project Blue Beam is to have a space invasion in the can so they can have an Independence Day moment to unite the world against a common enemy from outer space. Now, let me make something very clear. I'm not saying that false space aliens are a CIA thing and that the CIA's Project Blue Beam in any way explains anything about aliens. In other words, they're writing on the back of this alien narrative. They're not actually, you know, making it. They have a canned program to create this crisis if they have to. So first, I want you to keep in mind this. There are 200 billion stars in our galaxy, and there are 10 trillion galaxies in the universe. To think that intelligent life forms are just on one planet is absurd. With at least 200 quintillion stars in the universe, it would be very conservative to say that there is advanced life on at least billions of stars. Okay?
Agreed.
So,
of course.
The universe is 14 billion years old. Earth is 4 billion years old. Humanity is 10 million years old, and human civilization is 10,000 years old. What about a planet that is 8 billion years old with human-like creatures that have existed for 20 million years and have been civilized for 20,000 years? How far would they be ahead in technology and engineering? Could they have come to Earth in the past 10,000 years? My point is that space aliens are very real. Not the CIA's space aliens, but the real space aliens.
Oh, of course.
Last week,
of course.
Peru,
yes.
Peru sent two dead space aliens to the Mexican Congress that put them on display. While we normally must ask that question, there has never been any doubt in the traditional cultures of Peru and Mexico. I've been to the Maya and Aztec ruins in Mexico. I've been to the Inca ruins in Peru. I went as a modern person in these times. It was obvious that the carvings on these ruins had things that looked like spaceships and spacemen in space suits. Archaeologists want to explain it differently because they are very invested in creating narratives from the past when there is no written record.
They don't want to lose their grants either, remember.
Right. It's their narrative, not necessarily the actual narrative. You know, I remember years ago there was a guy named Eric von Daniken who had wrote Chariots of the Gods, and I was reading that book at the same time that I was around the ruins in these countries. And I mean, it's just uncanny. I mean, this little kid brought up this little statue to me, carved out of ironwood, okay? And It just looked like a modern robot. It didn't even look like anything from, you know, the Native Americans would make, but it was a, right. It was a genuine rendition of what they carved and stuff. Okay,
right.
So
I knew. I know Von Daniken. In fact, I brought him to UC Santa Barbara, and we put on a big event there with him, and I coordinated the whole thing, and it was fascinating. I've read his books. He'd been on the program, and yes, the amazing part of this whole thing is how successful the controllers have been. I understand why, but how successful they've really been at keeping a lid on the truth. They've diverted us and deflected us. It started with Michael Cremo's book, The Hidden History of the Human Race. That was the first big door opener. Von Daniken's books, great. And then we went into the television documentary age. But they keep lying, and people keep doubting the fact that we're visited all the time. Always have been. Sharing the planet with other species who can pass. They look enough like us. There's a lot going on out there, and even more going on down here. Go ahead.
So the odds are great that space aliens have been coming to Earth for some time, and many are probably here right now. How can we know? By sheer probability of the numbers. To think they have never been here is unlikely, okay? A few months ago, scientists for the federal government admitted to Congress that there are UFOs from space and that they have seen actual biological aliens as opposed to robots or something. Why did they say this so openly after keeping it secret since 1945 when the military secured the Roswell incident? Okay, so this is a thought exercise here. If space aliens have been coming to Earth for thousands of years and are here now, it begs the question of why they have not yet attacked and enslaved us. My point is that Project Bluebeam is using real reports of space aliens as propaganda to play into their canned space alien operation. They are doing the psychological preparation of the battlefield. Let's look back. Before a decade ago, it would have been hard to create a space invasion because they did not have the ability to make great CGI, you know, computer-generated imagery, plus the power to project it into large holograms. So the government did in 1945, what I have seen the government do all the time. You see, they detect a problem that they cannot handle, a problem that they admit that it exists. It makes the government look weak, and they risk the people not having faith in the government. So what do? They deny the problem exists. That way, people keep their faith that the government can protect them. After all, if the government can't protect us from invasion, why would we give them our money? Consequently, the psychological preparation for Project Bluebeam would include getting you to used to the fact that the government can't protect you. They do not, in fact, protect us from human aliens invading our country. They do not protect us from criminals. They are oriented, actually, towards protecting criminals instead of victims. The justice system does not protect Americans' rights. There is a two-tiered justice system, one to protect their political followers and one to persecute their political opponents. They want you to feel as vulnerable as possible. They're trying to make us feel vulnerable. So what changed? Before 2021, the government served the people. Now they could care less about what you think. I mean, we can all see the depredations of inflation, but the Bidenomics narrative says that we are all doing better. 80% of Americans disagree. So this is a project of theirs, too. They want us to believe these crazy Biden lies and stuff, okay? So under Trump, they started officially admitting that there are UFOs, and finally this year that there are biological forms from space on Earth. After 70 years of contacts, the CIA is reassured that space aliens are not going to attack. And in modern times, space aliens have not interfered with what humans are doing, as far as we know, okay? Because there's much that we can't know. The Hollywood crowd has always reinforced people's fear of space aliens with movies like Alien, Predator, and The Invasion of the Body Snatchers. This is also a CIA psychological preparation of the battlefield. Project Blue Brain is very distinct from other space alien narratives because it is the only intentionally fake one. Okay. So what Project Blue Brain tells you is an intentional lie. Okay. Other things you've heard about space aliens, well, you know, there's no proof that it's a lie. But we know Project Blue Brain is a lie. To say that Project Blue Brain exists is not the same as saying that there are no other narratives that are true. I think the government knows that the aliens now among us must be benign. I'm not suggesting that you think like the government, because I do not think they are that clever. You should ask nagging questions. Are space aliens really running our world? Will space aliens allow the CIA to use their presence as a ruse? Will they interfere if the CIA implements Project Blue Beam? Are biblical angels and demons space aliens? Are Kareem, Jean-Pierre, and Mark Zuckerberg space aliens? These are all legitimate questions, okay? I do not know the answer to any of these kinds of questions. I just wonder about them myself, okay? My point here is that Project Blue Beam is not a real space invasion. It is just the ultimate crisis needed for the political changes they want to make. A space invasion will allow them to murder millions of people and enslave the rest. But Project Blue Beam also does not explain away the many UFO narratives that have been revealed over the last century. Where did the CIA get the idea of space invasions from to use as a destabilizing crisis to gain control? I think people of my age kind of know what that is, and my parents definitely knew what it was. In the 1950s, many CIA agents could still remember Orson Welles' War of the Worlds radio show. Sure. It aired on Halloween 1938 on CBS radio. With just a radio and no visuals, it created a panic, not just in the USA, but around the world. The problem is that many turned on their radios after the show started and heard breaking news. People were so alarmed that police swarmed the studio. Orson Welles went back on air to announce that it was fiction and that was not really happening. This is what the CIA really appreciated, that so many people believed it, that it was hard to convince them that it was not happening after all. Mm-hmm. In other words, even when they were told it wasn't happening, many people still believed it was happening. So by 1955, half of all American homes had a TV. The CIA thought that having visuals along with voice would amplify the panic. The only problem was the very cheesy special effects of the time. I mean, I was a kid. I saw this stuff. It was very cheesy. I couldn't even fool me as a small child, you know. This was just a concept at this time. At that time, we had a boogeyman in the Soviet Union to scare us and allow the government a controlled crisis. They wanted to control the space invasion crisis. Flash forward to now. Everyone on Earth believes that climate crisis is our doom. We have been conditioned to expect our extermination by a multitude of disasters. Everything is a threat. Even all white men are a threat to America. Now we have computer-generated imagery and ubiquitous social media programs. They are ready. They can do this now. Why now politically? Because the USA is losing its unipolar power status. The world is starting to disobey us. Project Blue Beam is our ace in the hole. Do not fear a space invasion. It is them, and by them, I mean our government. Would they invade us? They invaded us in 2001 and killed 3,000 Americans. Sure they would. So this is something that they're going to pull when they get desperate.
Yes, and we've been, Kissinger warned us. President Reagan warned us. In fact, during a speech that Reagan made, was it somewhere in the late 80s, 87, 88, something like that, Reagan actually spoke rather longingly for the world unity that would happen if E.T. invaded Earth. And he, let me see if I can find the quote. Here it is. "Perhaps we need some outside universal threat to make us recognize this common bond. I occasionally think how quickly our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world." Ronald Reagan.
That in the 1980s, they didn't have CGI and hologram. I mean, the holograms were just coming about in the 1980s.
Right.
So
that's right.
So they didn't have this developed now. And where they developed it is right here in New Mexico at Sandia National Labs and the Los Alamos National Laboratory. That's where they run all these tests. Everything is super, super secret there. Okay. So getting information out of there is difficult. So the next thing I want to talk about is Putin and Kim Jong-un, okay? And I want to lay this out because when the news tells you things, they just say, yeah, Putin's meeting with North Korea, and they'll say things here and there. But you know what? They never give you information about North Korea or the Kim family to make judgments for yourself.
That's true.
And I think it's real important now that people have the information where they can judge for themselves. So let me talk about this. So Kim Jong-un traveled to Russia to meet with Putin. The press tells you that Putin is weak and needs more ammunition. Of course, it is an axiom that you can always use more guns and ammo. Okay, everybody that has guns and ammo knows that you can never have too much, okay? Really, it was about Russia providing more advanced weapons to North Korea as Putin promised he would if South Korea sent artillery shells to Ukraine. But South Korea instead sent the shells to the USA before going to Ukraine as a method of dodging a Russian reaction to South Korea's lame attempt to disguise their action. It did not work. Let me give you a little background on the Kim dynasty so you can interpret the moves for yourself. The media wants you to wonder if Kim is closer to China or closer to Russia. They open this up by saying that China is communist and Russia is not, to lead you to believe that North Korea would be closer to China, since they're both communist and Russia's not. So let's go back to Grandpa Kim Il-sung. Kim was born into a Korean Christian family. His grandfather was a Presbyterian preacher, and his dad was an elder in the Presbyterian church. Ruth Graham, Billy Graham's wife, was born in China in 1920. Her parents were medical missionaries. She went to high school in Pyongyang, in Japanese-occupied Korea, where her parents were missionaries. Ruth Graham's parents were close friends with Kim Il-sung's parents. Kim Il-sung knew Ruth Graham personally in the 1930s. In 1992, Kim Il-sung invited Billy Graham to come to Pyongyang. He invited them because North Korea needed some humanitarian aid, and because Kim knew Ruth Graham personally. Samaritan's Purse helped Kim out. After Kim Il-sung died, Ruth Graham made a trip back in 1997. She was still welcomed by the Kim family. Kim joined the Chinese Communist Party in 1931 to fight the Japanese in Korea as a guerrilla and a political commissar. In 1933, the Chinese Communist Party decided to purge the Koreans from the party. They complained that Kim was too nationalistic. During the purge, the Chinese executed 500 of the Koreans, but Kim Il-sung made it back to Pyongyang. Okay, so this was the cause of Kim Il-sung's distrust of the Chinese, which is, of course, hereditary. Kim Jong-un executed all of his Chinese-oriented generals 7 years ago. China acts as a restraining force to North Korea, and Kim does not like it. In 1940, Kim Il-sung joined the Soviet Army and rose to be a major by 1945. When the Soviet Army occupied North Korea after Japan's surrender, Stalin was looking for someone to lead the communist North. Lavrenty Beria, a head of Stalin's NKVD, secret police, interviewed Kim four times and recommended him to Stalin. Stalin imposed Kim on North Korea. The Kim dynasty has a good relationship with Russia because Russia has been more trustworthy than the Chinese. However, North Korea still has a decent relationship with China. The Kims just don't trust China as much. Chip O'Neill once said that all politics are local. With the Kim family, all politics is personal. They trust people that they personally trust. Okay, so Kim Jong-il, who ruled from 97 to 2011, allowed Christianity in North Korea, as did his dad, Kim Il-sung. It was Kim Jong-il that received Ruth Graham in 1997. When Kim Jong-il died, there were 2 million Christians in North Korea. Okay, so the reason why I'm talking about the Kims and Christianity is because the Kims are God, Okay, and the religion of Korea is Juche, or self-reliance, with Kim at the top. And there's a pecking order. There's 51 different tastes of people in North Korea. Okay, so
51 different what? Mitch, did you say castes
of people?
Oh, castes.
Yes.
India has about 8 or 9. India has about 8 or 9 castes. There's 51 there. Right. That's pretty amazing. That's I think that'd be damn confusing. But go ahead.
So why is it pertinent that Kim Il Sung had Christian parents and that they were friends of the Grahams? Why is that important? Well, it's important to understand that Kim Il Sung and his son both knew about religion because they created their own religion and made themselves gods of the country. Okay. It didn't just come out of the blue. He gave it some thought. So right. When Kim Il Jong-un came to power, first of all, he was not educated in North Korea and did not grow up around his dad. He went to the international school in Bern, Switzerland. The curriculum he studied was a woke progressive curriculum called the International Baccalaureate Diploma Program. American diplomats complained that the curriculum is anti-American. This program is also anti-Christian. Since Kim Jong-un took over, Christians have been hunted down and exterminated. Okay, remember when he took over, there was 2 million Christians in North Korea. Right now, there are only 50,000 Christians remaining, and they are all in concentration camps. Western-educated Kim Jong-un has exterminated 99.975% of all Christians in North Korea. We never hear about this genocide of Christians who cares about
that? Are you confident with that statement? He's murdered that. That's a lot of people.
Yes, I'm very confident with it. The sources are not singular. The sources are multiple.
Gotcha.
There's a lot of defectors that have come out of Korea.
So in the last, 10 years, this has gone on?
Yeah, 12 years. Murdered about 2 million Christians.
Jeez. Best kept secret in international geopolitics.
Yes, that's kept secret. Okay. Nobody wants to talk. Listen, Bush's War Bush, the big born-again Christian guy, he got, by starting the war in Iraq in 2003, he set the conditions for the almost entire extermination of all Christians in the Middle East. So all these Muslim countries there, they had a large Christian population, but they were all wiped out in George Bush's war on terror. Okay? So during Kim's trip to Russia, he was shown Russia's defense industry. Specifically, Putin showed him, Kim, his weapons based on new physical principles. That is what it's titled. That Putin says are types of arms whose destructive effect is based on processes and phenomena which have not been used for military purposes in the past. These include directed energy weapons, electromagnetic weapons, non-lethal weapons like biological weapons that can decompose or otherwise render useless fuels, insulation, and rubber products. Also, ultra-high-frequency systems meant to disable radio-electronic components of enemy weapons and equipment. It includes geophysical weapons. This is seismic, climate, ozone, and environmental weapons. Radiological weapons, and here he's talking about dirty bombs for area denial, and genetic weapons that damage the genetic apparatus of human beings. He gave some kamikaze drones to Kim. When South Korea sent artillery rounds to Ukraine, Putin promised to give North Korea the most advanced weapons. Now it has been arranged. Okay, North Korea will supply Russia with 10 million 122-millimeter and 155-millimeter artillery shells over the next year. Russia fires about 60,000 shells per day, compared with Ukraine's 10,000 per day. North Korea can supply them with half their needs by supplying 30,000 artillery rounds per day to Russia. This was a major step towards World War III. Okay, everybody's just arming up here. So the final thing I want to talk about is the woke attack on Americans. Okay, we talked about this a little bit last week, but I want to go on and just give people a little bit more information about this, because the news never will, you know. So on September 8th, New Mexico Führer Michelle Lujan Grisham used a public health order to stop, quote, gun violence. It was to apply to Bernalillo County and the city of Albuquerque for 30 days. This was a part of a woke Democrat plan to abolish the Second Amendment. California Governor Gavin Newsom also is pushing for a constitutional convention to abolish the Second Amendment. All weapons of war shall be banned. Before Grisham's order could be enforced, a federal judge issued an injunction against her public health order. So she narrowed it down to just ban guns in city parks and on any state property, which she has the authority to ban guns on state property. So her true intentions were made known when she told the press, and I heard this by myself, that anybody carrying a gun, concealed carry permit holders included, should be arrested. Okay? She just simply does not believe that you should have a gun. It is telling that the case that sparked her taking action was the murder of an 11-year-old boy in a road rage incident while leaving a baseball game. 11-year-old Froylan Villegas was killed, and his aunt, who was driving, was hit 5 times and will be paralyzed from the waist down for the rest of her life. This happened on September 7th. The next day, Grisham made her public health order banning law-abiding citizens from carrying a gun on your person or in your car. In New Mexico, it has always been legal to carry a pistol in your car. Mm-hmm. Governor's orders preempted that legal freedom by saying it must be in a lockbox in your car. That isn't the law here. That was just her order.
And is she going to get away with all this, Mitch, or is she going to be recalled? What's going to happen with this?
Yes, of course she is. I'm going to describe the way that she's going to get away with it, too.
Right.
In other words, she wanted to make it safer for criminal predators to attack law-abiding citizens. This is what woke people always stand for.
It's true.
It is now 12 days past the shooting of Froylan. And guess what? There's no suspects in this shooting. Nobody has been arrested. This horrible crime, nobody's been arrested and charged for it. There's no information. Right. They're not going to. There's unless the guy talks and to other people and then they tell the police, he's not going to get caught if he keeps his mouth shut. So, but what I want you to do is pay attention to another case in Albuquerque that the governor did not cite. The murder of 23-year-old Sidney Wilson on July 31st. Sidney Wilson's car was stolen, and she located it with a tracker. She called 911 a total of 12 times. She located her car and called the police each time to come and recover it. The police would not come. She finally, really wanting her car back, approached the people driving it at a convenience store. There were 4 kids in the car. Her car was a Hyundai. A Hyundai. Marcos Barrela, 13 years old. Barrela, 13 years old, pulled out a pistol from his waistband and shot Sidney Wilson to death after crashing her car. What action was taken? Did the police go out and capture Barrela? No. 2 days later, he turned himself in. They didn't even go look for him. What about the other kids who were driving in a stolen vehicle and were accessories to the murder of Sidney Wilson? None were arrested or even identified. And it has been a month and a half now. What about the car thief who fell into crime? Where is he? The police have not arrested nor identified who stole her car. So this case she would not want to cite because it shows that the police are not protecting people. The police are not doing their jobs. They do not respond. They do not help people out. Okay? So she would say she didn't want to cite this one because she didn't want people to think, oh, well, we could have the police do their job. That's not the purpose. The purpose is to ban guns. Okay? That is the purpose. So,
got it.
What action is taken? Chief Harold Medina wants to sue the Hyundai.
Just take the Y out. H-U-N-D-A-I. Hyundai.
Oh, okay, Hyundai Corporation, because their cars are easy to steal. Why doesn't he get sued for not being a real policeman, is my question. Yeah. District Attorney Sam Bregman wants the police to focus on arresting whoever made the gun available to Marcos Varela. Do you see a pattern here? Cars are responsible for being stolen, and guns are responsible for murdering people. Okay? This is an inversion of reality, people. I mean, if they can say that there's no such thing as woman, there's no such thing as two sexes, two genders, there's no such thing as three races, then they, of course, can say that guns kill people and cars make themselves be stolen. Okay, just blame the car, blame the gun, but never blame the human being that did the bad thing. They're not even looking for these people. They're not looking to hold anybody accountable, you know?
No.
They don't want you to have guns or cars. Really, they want to abolish all gasoline and diesel vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
So Title 18 U.S. Code Section 242 makes it a crime for a government official to deprive anyone of their constitutional rights under the color of law. How many governors shut churches and gun stores during the COVID public health emergency? They suspended the Constitution. How many governors were investigated and charged under this federal law? You see, the lawmakers protected themselves by making it a misdemeanor. If you do this, it is only a felony if there is a bodily injury. So this law is a felony. It is in its felony form, only applies to law enforcement officers and corrections officers because it's the bodily harm that makes it into a felony. Since it is a misdemeanor, no one must prosecute. And let me explain that. So there's a federal law called misprison of a felony. In other words, if you know a felony has been committed, you have to charge, you have to arrest, okay? Since it is a misdemeanor, nobody has to prosecute it. So Michelle Lujan Grisham will not be investigated by the Justice Department. She is a lawyer, so she knows this. Police Chief Harold Medina and Sheriff John Allen, both woke Democrats and exceedingly soft on crime, will not have their officers enforce the governor's ban because they will be prosecuted for violating 242. The governor won't, but the officers can be. The state police would not want to enforce it either because the State Attorney Raul Torres said he would not defend the order. What is this order really about? And what it's really trying to do is just circumvent the Constitution. Grisham will not be prosecuted by the Zionist Marxist Attorney General Merrick Garland. Grisham cannot be impeached because the New Mexico House and Senate are majority Democrat, and they have a supermajority. There's almost the Republicans are just a sideshow here. There are personal consequences for the governor if she betrays her oath to support and defend the Constitution. No arrests will be made because they do not want anybody to have standing before the Supreme Court where this order could be ruled unconstitutional. Okay, so let me clarify that statement right here. I'm talking about the police aren't going to arrest anybody for this violating this order. Because if they did, that would give that person standing before the Supreme Court. Okay? And it could be overturned. So if they keep it out of the Supreme Court, what's going to happen is she's going to do this, okay? Nobody will be arrested or anything, but this is a trial run. This is they're trying to see it sets precedent. If she does this as a public health order and nothing comes of it, then there's precedence, and she'll do it again. During the COVID epidemic, she had a 30-day public health order. She extended that for 2.5 years. So, the purpose of this public health order is to set precedence. The end goal is to change the Second Amendment to the right to have abortion. On a previous show, I talked about a female lawyer in Miami that her big thing she made a big media splash saying that, well, the Second Amendment should be replaced with the right to have an abortion. So, I'm just thinking, just keep the Second Amendment because that's aborting grown up people. You know, I mean, where is their head at? You know, their head is at murder. It's okay. You know, it's okay to kill 70 million babies in America, okay? Because you know what? They're going to come after everybody soon.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about, we're not talking about a decade. We're talking about in years, in just a few years or just months, we may be seeing a mass extermination of human beings perpetrated by the people that we pay taxes to. Okay. And you know, it was like, who was it? I think it was Henry Kissinger in 2009 when he was talking to the World Economic Forum. He said that, the great thing about this vaccine to exterminate people is people will be paying for their own extermination. Okay. It's a big gig to them. They hide this. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, Henry Kissinger is a lounge about in Epstein's Lolita Island down there. Okay. He's a pedophile. All right. So, you know, the moral quality of these people is like nil. You know?
Morals?
They have no.
When you're talking about them, the word moral doesn't have any place in the same paragraph.
So, anyways, yeah, I don't know what you Ukraine. You know what they were talking about. What Foreign Affairs magazine was talking about Ukraine and their, I think it was the March April issue, which I read is they wanted a frozen conflict. What they had in mind is to have a ceasefire in a frozen conflict. But I think now they're just settling with a frozen conflict that'll just go on and on and on for years and years and years. We'll keep That's foreign munitions in there and killing people.
Now,
until one day there'll be nobody left.
That's pretty much what we're looking at. I know that the people living in Donbass, a lot of them are not happy with Russia and its conduct of this war. They could have rolled this up a year ago and done it. And just why do Kiev, Kharkov, Odessa, why do they still have water and power? Why is Zelensky still alive? How is it this government hasn't been eradicated and just removed and allow the people once again to come together with their own wishes, dreams, and desires and reconfigure a government that more or less would actively and accurately represent them? Why isn't any of this happening? It's not supposed to happen.
You talked about that
That's
last,
why.
Last week. If you remember, there's two components to the war. There's the sanctions war, and then there's the actual war. Well, for the sanctions war, which is going good. It's going good, okay? The sanctions war was to de-dollarize the world and knock the United States out of its power to sanction everybody. Because they're sick and tired. Lots of people are sick and tired of our sanctions and our bullying. And, China and India said, well, we're not going to, you know, condemn you or anything, but, you know, don't, like, go take a bunch of territory or anything, because that'll make us look bad, you know. So that's why it's a special military operation and why Ukraine hasn't actually declared a war on Russia yet. And if Ukraine did declare war on Russia, then it's a different story entirely. Okay, the fiction of the special military operation would go away if Ukraine would declare war on Russia. And they're so self-deluded and stuff. I mean, I look at the American press and they're prostitutes, you know. They sit on there, they'll show a video of Ukrainian artillery firing on the Russians as if that is a major impact in the war. That's nothing. Nothing at all. There's like thousands of tubes of artillery firing back and forth every day, you know. I think I told you about like CNN will get General Ben Hodges on there to talk and pontificate about the war and how Ukraine's going to win and all this kind of stuff. This man is a political soldier that got his tickets punched. He didn't even get his first combat infantry badge until he went to the war on terrorism after over 20 years of service and stuff. And he went to get his ticket punched. In other words, if he made general, he would never get a combat infantryman badge. Okay. So as a colonel, he went to Iraq so he could get that combat infantryman badge.
I read this the other day. Sickening. Okay. I read, yeah.
Yeah. So this man is not a good general. He doesn't know what he's talking about. You know, I mean, if you want to measure who's a good military commentator, the standard is Douglas McGregor. That man knows what he's talking
about.
Okay?
He's the best. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
His wisdom doesn't stop with military either. He is a geopolitical commentator of the highest order. He gets it. Go ahead.
Yes, he does get it. He sees the big picture, okay, because he's not swayed by what other people think. In other words, he was never a political general, a political officer, and that's why he did not make general, is because it is not political, okay? Being a general is not a thing of merit or skill. It's a political position that's got nothing to do with merit or skill at all. Okay. As a matter of fact, right now, to get promoted in the military, what you need is you need to have the right ethnicity, the right race, the right sexual orientation, and the right gender. That's what you get promoted for. You get promoted for being a female. Okay, not because you know what you're doing or you're capable of doing anything, just because you're a female or just because you're a person of color, you get promoted. What they do not want, and they're very open about it, they do not want to promote white men, straight white men. They don't even want you in the Army. Okay.
No, it's
and
true.
That's part of our recruiting woes right now. I think any young white person, any straight white person, you know, if you join the Army, you're destroying your life. Your military record will not be good. It will be lackluster, regardless of how good you are. Other people will be promoted before you. You'll have incompetent bosses, incompetent leaders.
Oh, it'll be a nightmare.
Supervisors.
A living nightmare. No, you will not be advanced on merit at all. No, this doesn't work. And the standards and qualifications to become a member of the U.S. military rock has fallen off a cliff. They're letting anybody in now.
Oh, yeah.
They keep lowering the standards. I mean, we're talking about tests, you know, 1+1. Stupid tests. Anyhow, whatever. A very good report, Mitch, as always. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, thank you.
No. What'd you have to say?
No, I was just going to say, when I go to look at military bases, my gosh, people are so out of shape. I mean,
it must be ghastly.
People.
No,
unbelievable.
They're just, we are a disgrace now. I don't think we could stand up to anyone of any substance.
Well, I wouldn't want to go to war with these guys, and I wouldn't want my children to go, or grandchildren to go to war with these people.
No chance.
It'd be like being a Ukrainian and sent to the front. That's what being an American military person is like.
I agree.
You know?
All right, very good. Thank you, my friend. Take care of yourself. We will talk next week. All right.
That's it.
You bet. Good night, Mitch. Mitchell Henderson, and you can find Mitchell's programs, all of his really wonderful commentaries, on the left-hand side of the homepage. Look under Columnists, and you will find it. And we will be right back.